And that's what had posters on them, right? Just along that area, right there. That's it. And as far as them mailing out, I mean, Verizon's a $1 million operation, or even more. They put it in. They I got 39. They sent out 39 letters. I received one, and that was just in English. Then they did it again through the water bill. Well, I don't know about other people, but me, everything I do, pay my bills, is through online, through my bank. So I don't even get my water bill, but I don't open it. I just throw it aside because I already know how much my water bill is. I just open up my account, send them the money. That's it. So there's probably a lot of people like myself that do that because it's not like an electric bill that we use so many more kilowatts than we should have, so it's going to be higher. This is just like a set, your trash can, your water, your sewer, it's all a set flat rate. So every month it's the same. So I never opened my mail, and then maybe there's a lot of people like myself that didn't open the mail. I don't know why Verizon couldn't physically themselves send that to each homeowner or the community in their own envelope instead of through the water. Maybe they, like me, they didn't open it, and they didn't get the letter because there was a lot of people, and some people said, hey, so-and-so didn't get it. I heard from one lady say, my parents didn't get it. Well, maybe they didn't get their mail. It's kind of hard to get the mail in that town because the post office doesn't open until 8, and it's closed by 4. And there's a lot of people that that work Monday through Friday, even Saturday. And if they get off after 4, they're not going to get their mail. They won't get their mail until a Saturday. If they're lucky and get off by noon, you know, or whatever, and they take on their day off, they go down and get their mail.
Could you summarize then, or could you summarize your concerns and move forward?
Oh, my concern is just I feel that the Verizon didn't do what they should have with all their stuff, giving out notices and then postering the whole town like they said. They put it around the community. And I don't believe that right here is the baseball diamond. There's the bathroom. I don't believe that the tree should be right there. It could be back in the far, in a corner or out of the way, or it can be down at the river. And like the lady before me said, we didn't have no problem with our internet. We went through COVID and everything. These guys are saying that the school asked them to, that the school called them and stuff like that. The superintendent there said that they never called and asked Verizon to bring it to the town. We've already had enough. We have enough internet there, and they brought it up to us for instance, they said, "Well, you guys are going to be like Actos, which is up north, you know, past around Watsonville, Santa Cruz." And they said, "Well, they had something happen over there with the school, and they couldn't get communication and stuff like that." And it's like, that's not going to happen here. We told them that's not going to happen here, and you know, stuff like that. There's not going to be a big emergency like that where somebody's going to not be able to get notice or get notified.
Commissioner Wolf, you had a question?
I'm concerned that there is somebody in this room from the Leighton Lions Club. It looks like Bethany Avila is involved with the Leighton Lions Club. Randy Sheldon is involved. He was listed as the property owner, a representative from Leighton Lions Club. Mr. Hernandez, do you know anybody in the Leighton Lions Club? And if they're here, I'm wondering if Mr. Villari, who was the former superintendent, I'm wondering if he's a member of the Leighton Lions Club?
No, I know a few that are there. Dwayne Cooper is on there.
I'm just wondering why there's no representative here, if you have any feelings about that.
Well, yeah, they want it. They were there. They were there on Sunday. They wanted it. They were there, and yeah, that was my concern too. How come they're not here? Anybody, at least one person from the Lions Club to represent them, or two, or something like that.
Well, we did receive correspondence from some of them, I believe.
Yeah, but that the meeting that we had down there, I felt that we didn't really get anything covered because they were. It was just like, at the end, it kind of like got into an argument. People got up, started kind of getting a little loud and stuff like that. At the end, I didn't, to myself, I didn't feel we got anything accomplished at that meeting.
Okay. So, any other questions of the speaker? Thank you, Mr. Hernandez.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Anyone else to speak in opposition? Okay, I'll ask if, you wish to speak in opposition, please come forward.
Hi, my name is Rosemary Hernandez Chan. I live in Layton, a few feet away from the
Can you speak closer to the microphone? Thank you.
Funny, no one ever calls me. I'm not kidding you. is that better?
Yes.
Okay. One thing is, I was at the meeting on Sunday. I spoke to the superintendent and the superintendent was there. Thank you. I mean, not to contradict Ms. Jacobo, but I think when she said she supported the Lions Club, she supports the Lions Club as a club, and everybody tried to reassure the Lions Club that we are not, that the community appreciates them, and I think, and that's what she meant. I don't think she did not support the application from the Lions Club for the cell tower. She's not
the saying. One that spoke earlier you're talking about?
I didn't want to contradict Ms. Jacobo.
Well, she spoke when we were listening to those opposed, so she was not in support of that application.
Yeah. Oh, no, but what I'm trying to say is that at the meeting, the superintendent, while she
at the
supports
Lions Club meeting.
At the Lions Club meeting on Sunday, while she supports the Lions Club as an organization in Layton, did not indicate that she's supporting the application for the cell tower. So that's why you don't have a letter of support from her or from the school. And the notices were sent out. It was the superintendent's offered to send the notices out by Parents Corner email. And by they have a mass phone call to the parents, and that was her initiative to do that. But she had to wait for the school board meeting for the school board to approve it before they can do it, so they couldn't send it out early. And then, of course, there's the issue of the mailing. They were included in the water bill, and people don't open those things. So when I say that we didn't have enough notice, they show clearly that they've been involved in this since 2019, and I say that it's been a well-kept secret because and I've been talking to a lot of people in town, and it's come as a total surprise to us. We haven't had enough time to react, really, or to prepare, and many people are, it's a very low-income town, right, as Ms. Jacobo explained, 50% Spanish-speaking, and they're struggling to survive. And to ask them to try to take part in a meeting like this or in a meeting like Sunday is asking a lot of these people. I mean, they're gonna be on unemployment soon. It's like, paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth sort of a life. But it's a beautiful town. If you see all of those trees there, I mean, this is what we have. This is our treasure. People are low income. But this is our treasure. The surroundings are our treasure. In this area here, if you look out there, it's like a playground for the birds. You can look up at the sky and you can see eagles, occasionally condors, but recently, because of this project, a condor nest was chopped down. I happened to walk back out there because I live nearby and I wanted to see what was going on. And I looked up and I saw the condor nest, and there's nothing I could do to stop them, right? So the condor nest was chopped down, and I haven't seen any condors recently. But it's like a playground there, and it's a relief, and it's a treasure that we have. And therefore, I'm staunchly opposed to placing this here in Layton. This is basically what we have all around us. The rivers go around us, and so the trees. They're not really thriving anymore because of the drought still, but we still have that trees, and it's a place like almost like a wildlife sanctuary, and it probably should be declared as one, because you're not going to find, you're not going to come to Fresno and find a place like that that you can go to, honestly, and you're not going to find that in a lot of little towns. We're blessed in the sense that because of the location of the town, and because we have the rivers going either side of us, and therefore the trees can continue to grow, and because they're oak trees, they're not supposed to be cut down. But I'm wondering if suddenly Verizon says, well, those trees back there are getting in the way of our signal. If somebody from Layton decides to help them out and go and cut down the trees, nobody's going to be able to do anything about it, even if it's an oak tree, because I know that an oak tree was cut down by the railroad track a couple of years ago. Nobody's going to, by the time anybody can do anything, it'll be done already, like with the eucalyptus trees. It'll be done.
Was that question asked at the meeting about the trees, if they were going to cut them down?
No. Okay. We didn't get that far. It was a fruitless meeting, to tell you the truth. Okay. We were given, I felt it was the runaround. We know the answers that were given to us. And then as far as the Layton Lions Club, because they're so, they're almost possessive about this. It's like they need to have this there. So they were very defensive. I brought up the question of, you know, what's Layton Lions going to benefit? How much is the lease? I mean, you're a nonprofit, tax exempt, supposed to be a charitable organization. Shouldn't we know as a community what you are, at what price that you're making us give up our way of life and the beauty of the only thing that we have really in the town? That's the beauty of it. That's all we have. It's not a rich community. We don't own boats, and we don't own mountain homes, and we can't afford to be going to Disneyland and Universal Studios, but it's here.
Stick to the topic then.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to say is this is what we have.
Right.
And we shouldn't have to sacrifice it for people traveling through town who lose their connection, or for people who don't live in the town who don't have good service, because we have fine service. And I think their rationale for building it here was because the schools need it, and that's not true. And, I don't think it's also fair to say that the previous superintendent gave you a phone call. That's verbal support, and he's not there anymore, and it shouldn't apply. Well, they're also on that list that you had up earlier of the other intended sites. There were a few very potential sites. They're out of town, like at the last two at the bottom. Can you show that list? Old Kingston Grade, it should be out of town. Well, why can't they put more effort to put it out of town? They have a potential there at Old Kingston Grade. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure Velasco is out of town as well. Why can't they put more effort into putting it there?
I can't answer that.
I know you can't, but I'm saying.
They says they weren't didn't get any response.
But if they didn't get any response, maybe they could put more effort there. And I guess that's about all I can say about it. I'm opposed to it. I think we have valid reasons for opposition to it. And I hope we will consider the needs and the welfare of the community, the people who are actually going to be affected by it, because many of the people who vote for this thing, they don't live in the town. They're not going to be affected by it. They also live outside, out of the country. Maybe they could put it on one of their farms.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else to speak in opposition to this application? Okay, I'd like to ask if the applicant wishes to rebut, come forward, and you can address those issues that were brought up during opposition, if you would.
Hello, thank you. Again, my name is Michelle with SAC Wireless on behalf of Verizon. There were a lot of things brought up by the opponents that I do want to address. So there was talk about Hardwick. So this tower, just to be clear, does benefit Hardwick, but this is for Verizon's coverage objectives in Layton. This is for the town of Layton. This tower will benefit Hardwick, but that is not our sole objective, to have service only in Hardwick. This is going to benefit the community of Layton. Regarding Spanish speaking, the four posters that I mentioned, that there were four posters that were posted near the parent parcel, were in English. The notices that I sent out myself were in English and in Spanish. Those were, and both of those were in the envelopes that I sent out. Layton's Lions Club, the 475 notices that were in the utility bill, were both in Spanish and in English. We had two Spanish translators at the community meeting on Sunday. No one asked to utilize them. Everyone spoke in English. We are trying to provide as much notice and Spanish-speaking outlets as we can, and that is not required by the county code. The reason why the tower is on the road and not pushed back into the parcel is we need to be close to power. And if we push it back into the parcel, we need to essentially create a road so fire has access. We have to abide by county building code regulations, and that placement of the tower was ideal. We have a CMU wall around this tower. It's not a chain link fence for kids to climb. It's a CMU wall, and towers are now built with anti-climbing techniques. There are no tower pegs on towers anymore to prevent people from climbing towers. We build towers in areas that have homeless population. There's lots of kids. We are very aware of these issues. We deal with these issues. So those are the solutions that Verizon and these tower companies have come up with. No tower pegs. It's a CMU wall. And regarding kids climbing up and hurting themselves, they can do that on a number of buildings, fences, or trees in the area as well. To address the locations, and Walt can speak a little bit more to this, but the locations outside of the town, yes, we reached out to them to see if they would have interest. We reached out to 21 alternatives to see if they would have interest, but that was not the objective. The objective is in town. I know everyone is focusing on the school board reaching out in 2019. I'm aware that it wasn't the current superintendent, and the current superintendent and school board are not writing a letter of support. They are not for the project. They are not against the project. They were at the community meeting to ask their questions and get some answers resolved, and that was stated from the current superintendent. But yes, Victor Villar did reach out to us in 2019 to ask about service. I understand from Sue Vang, the tech contact at the school board, states that their infrastructure is great and they don't need wireless services for internet. And the gentleman that brought up Aptos, yes, this was a case where it was an emergency situation at school and students have cell phones on them and students have Verizon services on their cell phone. And teachers have cell phones as well that are trying to reach out to loved ones, that are trying to reach out to their parents, or vice versa, trying to reach out to their students when there is an emergency. We cannot foresee emergencies, fires, floods, guns, bomb threats. This is a part of daily life, unfortunately, and the network is already at capacity. So when an emergency happens and the network is already overloaded and everyone's trying to use their cell phones, you will not be able to make a call. And that would be unfortunate if you are not able to reach your student, you are not able to reach your parent, you are not able to reach the authorities. Verizon went above and beyond providing notice above the county's code. We did notices within 600 feet. We did it in Spanish and English. We posted posters. We held a community meeting for 2 hours to answer everybody's questions. We didn't stop the meeting until everybody's questions were answered. I was also present on Sunday, and I did speak to people who have also had Verizon for 30-plus years, and they were telling me that their calls do drop, and it is not sufficient service right now, as the other towers in the area are at capacity. Would you like to add anything to alternatives?
Sure. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Walt Coles with Verizon Wireless. I'm the RF engineer for this project. In regards to the alternative candidates, we put out a search ring within a radius, and I, help me out here. Is this, so if you look in the red, that is the what we call a search ring radius. And what we're trying to do is get as close to the center of that ring as possible when we're looking for a candidate for a tower. And what that is based upon, and I think I brought this up in the last meeting, is we look at triggers that go on the current towers. So if you look at the sectors that are pointing into the town, the two main sectors that are feeding the town from the current towers, I'm going the wrong way. To the north and to the southeast are both exhausted. And when I say exhausted, I'm not talking about just being able to make a phone call. I'm talking about we look at capacity for that sector to handle data. And both of those are triggering. And we have a metric that shows the trigger. That trigger means that the data usage has gone up. And in the world we live in now, people are using their phones for everything, and that contributes to that issue. So when this came open, there's several factors we look at. That's the primary driver, is when we have an exhausted sector, we look to try to mitigate that sector with a new tower or some other technology. These are already built to capacity. These existing towers, there's nothing more we can do with them, and that triggers a new build. When we look at these builds, there are factors we look at, and we do look to cover schools. That is an objective of Verizon. They want to cover schools. That has been going on for quite some time, actually, that we've tried to make it a point to make sure we have service into the schools, not just to benefit the schools, but, as Michelle mentioned, for emergencies. So that's no secret, and I think the other carriers are on board with that as well. So as far as looking at some of the other alternative candidates that were brought up, many of these candidates that the opposition mentions are far too far away from where they're going to do any good. They're not even addressing the issue of the exhaustion for the sectors. They're not dealing with the current issue at all. And that's, again, I think Michelle brought this up. When we have candidates, these are just potential candidates at this point. There's nothing with them. We get what's called a windshield back in my office. We analyze that. We do some plots. We run some charts. We see what's going to work best. And then we give them a top three or top four candidates. The Lions Club was the top. They were also the ones that were the most supportive of the project. We also felt that they knew the community better. They were more planted in the community to make a good decision for what's best for the community. So that's one of the reasons we chose them. There was no other reasons that were nefarious. So I hope that helps you kind of see. We look at everything we can. This is a very exhaustive process. It started, like we said, back in 2019. These aren't quick to build. They take a long time. And we follow everything we can follow. And as far as the RF questions go, once again, we are well within FCC guidelines. And that is what's required by federal law.
I don't think that was brought up during
rebuttal. I believe one of the opponents brought that up, that they didn't understand the RF by one of our colleagues that was at the meeting on Sunday. So I hope that answered all the questions.
Thank you.
Can you address the comment about the proposed site of the park, because it was stated that it's clearly not on this list.
If you look at the map,
it's within the red line.
Where is the map? Well,
right there.
I think there was another map.
That one showed it. The bottom left.
So the park is at the bottom left. Our candidate's the green candidate. That's too far from the objective. That park is on the far side of the search ring. If I'm looking at what's best for the community, the park is not best for the community. The park is serving more in the rural and the outlying areas. It's not serving the addressing areas where our sectors are broken. If you go back to where the Verizon towers are and where they're pointing in, that won't fix it. So if we're gonna build something, we want to build it in the best location to do the most good and the most efficient use of that. Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This time, you do have a question, Commissioner, please.
Ms. Jacobo of Como brought up this Harlan Avenue issue. Where is that? And are you aware?
This is kind of news to me a little bit. We never had any issue with the other elementary school. That was not what our objective was originally. The objective was triggered from, like I said, the two exhausting sectors. There was a communication, from my understanding, from the previous superintendent that reached out to a Verizon sales group complaining about lack of service and needing better coverage for the schools. That was not anything I was involved in at the time. But as far as the other elementary school goes, that was not our foresight in doing that. It will probably help serve it, but that was not the main objective. The main objective was right where it is, to serve.
Well, it sounded like there were students that went to the Layton School,
right,
that live in near Harlan Avenue, and I didn't know whether your coverage was going to reach there with the new tower or not.
If I could see where Harlan is in relation to this, which I'm not sure. Do you know where Harlan is? And that's the school? 5 miles, yeah, no, it will not serve it.
It's south of Layton.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This time, Chair will ask if there's someone that's in opposition that can address the issues that they wish to survey, but just addressing the issues that were brought up in rebuttal. And come forward.
Again, my name is Fatima Jacobo. It's not another school that this tower would be serving on Harlem Avenue. We were told that children during COVID were having issues being able to complete homework and being able to stay involved with school. And that was the reason why the superintendent had reached out. When you look at the data for our school, it's actually children that are living north of Harlem Avenue. It's not another school, it's our school district. But those were the children having issues during COVID with their homework. Being able to have good service out there. So those were the children that this tower was supposed to be benefiting. Children that were having issues with homework during COVID. That's what we were told in our community meeting. It wouldn't be another school. It's our same school district. It's just children that live on the opposite side that the tower would be on. And they would still, even if this tower was approved and it went up, they would still not be benefiting from this because it wouldn't reach them. The service wouldn't reach them. I know there's a tower, I don't know if Verizon's on it, but there's a tower that's on Fowler and Harlem, and that tower doesn't even reach them. They still struggle. My guess is that that's the tower they go off of, but even then, they still struggle with a good connection and something solid that can help them do any homework that they either have to do after school if that's necessary, or if something was to happen again and we were on lockdown again for like a pandemic, where they would benefit from this tower. The park, I didn't know about this list, and the park is not on that list. And the lady from Verizon, her name was SAC Wireless. Thank you so much. Her name was Lisa, and she did tell me that they reached out to the park and they did not receive what they needed from the park, whether they didn't answer or they didn't, like, it wasn't, mostly it was like they didn't, it was, my understanding was that the park didn't answer, but the park wasn't even on this list that they're presenting. And just from, I know we did talk about the REF waves. Our concern with that was that there's not enough data, even now, to this day, there is not enough data about this. And the person who was there representing and giving us the information about these charts, he told us this is completely safe. And I one of my questions was, can we know who funds these research projects? Because if we've ever read through a research project, especially a medical one, we need to see who it's benefiting, who's behind this data, who is paying to get these results, who's funding this? Because that has a lot to do with the way the information is going to be presented. I then went on to the Cancer Website Association, and I know there's a case on there in Taiwan that it was an independent case that was done, and it shows that towers of this magnitude that are being built in small towns, over time, children are developing rare tumors. That was one of our issues. That was probably one of the biggest issues there, because we're a small town. Maybe we are afraid of change. Maybe we are afraid of, like, all this new construction and everything coming to our town. But I felt like that was a valid concern from parents, from people who are going to be living under this tree, because it's right in front of their doorsteps. Our water level, we drink from tap water. Our water is probably one of the best waters in Fresno County. And we were so concerned, is this going to contaminate our water? Is this going to cause any issues to our water? Because we would hate to lose that over something that our town isn't benefiting from. And all of that, they told us that they still have to go through Planning Commission. If for some reason our water was compromised, this project would be canceled. About the park, I don't know, maybe she thought that they did reach out to the park, but clearly it's not on the list. My guess is that it would probably cost more money to do it at the park, because like it was mentioned, they have to build a road. They would have to pull electricity out there. So maybe it's because it would cost Verizon less to do it at the Layton Lions Club. From our understanding at the meeting, Layton Lions Club was supporting this tower because it was going to benefit our community. They were in belief that the school district had reached out to Verizon for this tower. So it was all a miscommunication. Lions Hall was not aware that our current superintendent didn't reach out. Lions Hall was not aware that our internet service is not Verizon for the school. So the school wouldn't even be benefiting from this. The school, they did say that they're in support of Lions Club. They did not say about this project, because it's not, they can't give a letter because it's not, or I don't know if they will give a letter eventually. I don't know. I don't know what the superintendent will end up doing. But our guess is that all of this is lacking. Everything you're requiring from Verizon is lacking, because there's just so much miscommunication even between our town. This has been planned since 2019. In 2019, they could have involved the town. We could have started having meetings there. It would have gave us more time to get more people involved, for them to see, is it going to benefit our community? Is it not? What is this tower going to do for our community? But, I mean, we're now in 2023, and it's been within a couple months that now they're just trying to overwhelm us with information, when this could have started back in 2019. And we could have had all this time, and maybe they would have had the town come around and we could have seen it differently. But as of right now, because of so much lack of communication, so much confusion, we're being told that the park was reached out. Clearly, the park was not reached out. And my thought is maybe it's financial.
Yeah. Commissioner Wolf? Oh, I was just going to ask if you could try not to repeat and just summarize.
Oh, sorry.
You have some good points, but just try to summarize what was brought up that you're opposed to that they brought up during rebuttal.
Yes, even with the SAFE guidelines, again, just finishing that, with the SAFE guidelines, we were told this is extremely safe. It's backed up by so many different entities. But if you just go on to the Cancer Association website, which that's funded, not really benefiting Verizon, not benefiting anyone, there's a case on there that shows a town in Taiwan, this was an independent studies, where over time, these tumors are popping up. And that was one of the biggest concerns for our town because it's a small town. We drink the water from there.
Did you have anything else to add?
No, that was pretty much.
Thank you. Any questions? Everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing. Is it something that was brought up during rebuttal? Come forward, since they had two speakers during rebuttal. I'll allow you, but please don't repeat and state your name again for the record, if you would.
Rosemary Hernandez Chan. And the map that you just had up there, I just wanted to point out, because he's saying that it would be too far if they went out to some of those other addresses. And how about the other one? With the circle on it?
That one? No.
It's Netto. It's actually a short walk from where they're planning on putting it at, where he said, and it's out of town. You can take a short walk to there. It would probably take me 10 minutes to walk there to Netto. It's not far, and he's disqualifying it as being too far. And since we don't have the problem within our area in town. The other thing I wanted to clarify is they pointed out that there are no lights on the tower. So I wonder why in your staff report and the description of the tower, it describes that there will be a flashing strobe light, white during the day and red at night 24/7 according to FAA requirements. That's in your publication that I picked up. I read the whole thing, and that's in the description. So that was my concern because the strobe lights will frighten the birds. Will disturb them.
Before you continue, let me just clarify with staff because I asked that question.
Because it's 80 feet, they don't require to have strobe lights.
Okay.
So they won't have strobe lights. And any mitigation measures.
Is it in our packet that said there would be?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. But with mitigation measures, anything that is, any lights that may be generated would be hooded as to not disturb any wildlife. But as I said, 80 feet in height. Not necessarily are required for it, so they won't be as per the regulations.
They stated that there would be no strobe lights or flashing lights, and since it's an 80-foot tower,
okay,
there's no requirement by FAA. In fact, they should not have it anyway.
Okay, well, it's in your staff report, so that was where I got that information from, and that's why one of my concerns was raised. And the Velasco is there; it's not far. These are not far from where they're planning to put the tower. And that was all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion.
Chairman, can I make one legal point?
Yes.
Local agencies are forbidden by federal law to consider the health effects of radio frequencies in making their decisions. So that cannot be considered in your decision. Health effects of radio frequencies. As long as they comply with the FCC regulations, what the staff report indicates that they are.
Okay. It's not in there.
What was that?
Her verbal conversation. Does that need to be struck out of it?
No, it doesn't need to be struck. I'm just advising you that cannot be part of your decision. Yes.
Okay, I think...
You're on page 10.
Yeah, just to get the discussion moving and for time's sake, we spent a lot of time on this issue last time. We asked them to go reach out to the public. That looks like they did do all of that. And there are still some dissatisfied parties, but I don't know that we can ever get to a point where everybody's satisfied. So at least I'm going to get a motion going to move to adopt as recommended by staff.
I second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Arabian, second by Commissioner Hill to adopt as staff's recommendation of approval. Any discussion?
Sure.
Commissioner Wolf?
I'd like to thank the people that came in and spoke today from the community of Layton, and especially Rosemary Hernandez-Chan, who's been so instrumental in making sure this community meeting happened. If it wasn't for her coming in last time, this wouldn't have happened. And as a result, at least 29 people did get to a meeting. The supervisors got to the meeting. They had the ability to reach out to us after this meeting, and they didn't, which is interesting. So as far as we're concerned up here, if people don't necessarily show up, we figure they really just don't have a problem with it. They could have written something. It's so easy. But they didn't. And so in other words, we've done the best we can, really, and it worked. The system has worked. I wish more people had walked into the room, more letters, anything. But we're thinking on this end that it's possibly okay with a lot of people. And we hope that I look at things like this and think that every student or person in that area deserves access to the latest technology so they can compete with any kid in the state. Anyways, it's just I just felt like saying that. It could have gone either way today for me, for sure. But thank you so much for doing what you did.
I'm going to call for a roll call if there's no other discussion.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hill?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver?
No.
Commissioner Chatha has left. Commissioner Quist?
Yes.
Commissioner Wolf?
Yes.
Commissioner Zante?
No.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes. This motion passes and is final unless appealed. Is that correct, Steph? Thank you, everyone, for your patience. Next item number three.
Regular agenda item number three, amendment to text application number 384, filed by the County of Fresno, proposing to amend section 855P of the Fresno County Zoning Ordinance to provide a 25% local density bonus for affordable housing developments with at least 50% lower income units.
Good morning, Chairman and Planning Commissioners. My name is Yvette Quiroga, Principal Planner with the Department of Public Works and Planning. Item number three and subsequent item number four for your consideration today are in response to the State of California's requirements to ensure that the county is able to meet its regional housing needs allocation requirements for the county's sixth cycle housing element. Item three provides a 25% local density bonus for developments that include a minimum of 50% of its units for affordable housing. The bonus density is necessary to demonstrate to the state that the county has enough parcels zoned to build its 1350 low and very low housing units allocated to the county and increases the development capacity assumptions for the sixth cycle housing element. At this time, Derek Chambers, planner for Public Works, will provide you more details. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Derek Chambers, Department of Public Works and Planning. So the first item we have is the amendment to text number 384. So we're talking about residential density bonus. So state California passed laws in the last couple of years requiring density bonuses. So what we're talking about here is it's a special allowance to build more housing units on a site than would be allowed on the surface value as you read the zoning ordinance. So if you're in a multi housing district, like an R2 or something like that, you're allowed so many housing units per so many square feet. And so what these density bonuses do is they allow the developer to overbuild, to build more additional units if they make a commitment that a certain amount of those units are gonna be for low-income persons or households. So we reacted to this state law back in 2020. Back in 2020, we implemented the state-mandated density bonus. So what's coming before you today is something that is it's brought to you by the county. It's brought to you by staff through consultation with our consultants helping us update our housing element. What this is would be an additional density bonus above and beyond what's currently implemented in our zoning ordinance as we implemented it in reaction to state law back in 2020. So this will allow an additional 25% of additional 25% of housing units on any given site that dedicates half of the development to be for lower income households. So that's what we're talking about.